Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. It is great to be back. And if I told you where I was, you probably wouldn't believe me, but I'll tell you anyway. I am sitting in Mallorca, Spain. I am here because, very graciously, John Bishop has agreed to take part in the Des Bishop Podcast. He happened to be over here, so this is where I am. It is a lovely 30 degrees Celsius, I guess 89 degrees Fahrenheit, I haven't checked that. And it's lovely to be here. We have a great chat with Carl Spain that I did the other day in Limerick, which seems a lifetime ago as I look at this wonderful blue sky. But we drove around Limerick and we chatted about Carl, who is taking part in Operation Transformation. For those that aren't familiar with that, it's a show on RT1, Irish television, about losing weight. Carl's a little on the large side and he's had some health issues related to that. And so we chat about that a good bit. And then we have a good bitching session about other comedians' success at the end of the chat. So for those that don't care as much about a man's struggle with weight loss, chill out for that. Good bit of gossip. And can I just say that Carl's one of my closest friends in comedy. We go back a long way. And when I listened back to the interview, I was a little bit insulting at the start of the interview, but please try to understand that this is something that goes way back with me and Carl. We kind of rip on each other, so he's not getting offended. But just in case people aren't used to myself and Carl's familiarity, don't get offended right at the start of the interview. And also, just to note that at the beginning of the conversation, we are actually being filmed by Operation Transformation, so the sound quality is a little bit different because I wanted to make sure that things looked as safe as possible as we were driving around Limerick. And there's also somebody else in the car. And then we go back to our normally just me and Carl in the car kind of vibe. And I found it hard to get Carl to stick to the topic a lot of the time. So see if you notice that. Carl likes to jump off topic. But I think it's a great chat, and Carl very graciously talked to me about this, which I think is an important thing. In society, the struggle with weight and how it makes people feel and, how it affects your confidence, all these things. And also, obviously, there's always bad edits. I'm not a great editor, but I don't know what happened. In the very first part of the interview, there's literally just like a technical flaw. The thing just jumps, and I don't know why. So I apologize for that. But enough from me, ladies and gentlemen, Carl Spain.
So, it's... We're back on the Des Bishop Podcast. It sounds a little different at the moment because we're doing something a little different. I have Carl Spain in the car, and he is currently being filmed for Operation Transformation.
Celebrity
Operation Transformation, as he likes to correct me. And the great thing about it is, how many people on Celebrity Operation Transformation will be celebrities because they've been on it?
Simon O'Keefe tweeted something like that, saying they're going to transform Carl into a celebrity. Thought that was the actual...
Well, that's pretty good.
That was good. I liked his tweet.
Wow, that was good from Simon O'Keefe. Let's give him some condescending praise. What, Simon O'Keefe said that?
I don't know who wrote it for him.
Anyway, for our international listeners that will not be aware of the celebrity,
I'm really famous in Ireland.
Carl Spain is a comedian, a good friend of mine. We go way back, and he's a fat bastard.
Dez, that is,
it is hurtful.
There's things I've told you in confidence. I told you about
that was our secret.
I told you about my weight and confidence.
I told you why I always wear black. So anyway, of course,
that's why I didn't wear the stripy shirt you got me for my birthday last year.
So of course, I'm kidding. Carl's doing Operation Transformation, which is a... actually, you explain what is Operation Transformation.
It's a show where they get people to go on a new food plan. You know, they'll call it diet and exercise regime. And you transform yourself, you lose weight. And I'm...
Oh yeah, you know, it always helps to buckle your seatbelts.
Oh, mine is buckled.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know what that beep was. Go ahead.
Oh shit,
is that you?
Oh, it's the woman.
Oh, it's the woman. It's the camera person.
It's so the woman.
If it sounds a little unbalanced.
And you feel a lot healthier. And I'm approaching 2 weeks in. What's it, day 12.
Day 12.
And I feel like I've lost...
As you pass the mighty Thoman Park.
A good chunk, yeah.
So we're driving around Limerick. We're passing the mighty Thoman Park.
The Ormond Park, yeah.
So in a way, this is kind of like...
Some of the great men have played there.
Yeah, but you know, you're a Limerick man and you have to feel that inspiration of the great Munster men that can rise.
Great men who've played there. Bruce Springsteen.
You know.
Paul O'Connell. Pink.
So anyway, and you're totally cool with the sort of... You're out there now saying I'm not happy with my weight and all that.
Well, I've never... You know, I wouldn't say I was ever... happy, but I wouldn't have said I was unhappy either. I was just happy with who I was. I've always been kind of happy in my own skin, be it thinner, fatter, whatever. It's just it takes a bit of effort to lose weight. So
it's handy to get paid.
It's
handy to get paid.
When someone's paying you to do it in filming, yeah. Raising your profile, I went, yeah.
Yeah,
I can do
listen,
that.
Hey man, listen, I'm all for that. I mean, my dad got cancer. I was like, Dad, there's dollar signs all over this.
Just hang on, Dad. I need Edinburgh out of this.
Oh yeah.
I've been learning how to cook on it and stuff like that. Well, I could cook a bit already, but learning new meals from my canon of cooking. So the food's been quite nice, and the exercise hasn't been too strenuous.
So do you have like a personal trainer as part of it?
Well, yeah. There's all experts, dietitians, psychologists. Personal trainer, all sorts of experts, and they're all gonna, I'm gonna have my weigh in now on Monday, and they're all gonna shout at me.
And are you doing like an Instagram, like fit Irish hashtag Irish fit fam, like progress?
No, not yet. No, but
hashtag cheat day, apple
no,
tart.
No cheat days,
no cheat days.
Oh, apple tart, I'd love it. I was looking at an apple tart yesterday, and it didn't even look that appetizing, but nah. I was thinking of better apple tarts in the past.
That's what I do when I'm with women. I'm not
Yeah, a bit of cream.
Anyway. So, but you're not doing all that Instagram stuff, like posting your progress.
No. It's
you don't want to become an influencer?
I'm a leader. That's what I'm, the Limerick leader. So I'm the same as the newspaper. I'm the Limerick leader so far. I'm the Limerick leader. There's five of us, but so I'll be I'm getting followed by people and people shouting at me in the street and stuff like that.
Oh, what people know?
Yeah. It's kind of, it was publicised and there's an ad on TV showing me doing it. So it's been funny. The kids on the estate have been instead of like when we'd open the window, see, because the kids can go in front of our house. And sometimes they'd be cycling past and they'd close my window and go, can you keep the window closed? These 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. I've opened my window to let a bit of air in on a hot day and they've gone, can you keep your window closed? But now they're like, you were on my telly.
They haven't quite.
Yeah,
because last night in Limerick, this couple stopped me for a picture. And they said, "What are you doing a show in Limerick?" I said, no, I'm down to interview Carl Spain. And the first thing they said to me was, he's doing Operation Transformation. So I said, Celebrity Operation Transformation.
Thank you, Dave.
Because you had already corrected me on the phone. So you're going to be famous, man.
Yeah, that's the thing now. So after 11 years after being shouted at, do you find a woman? Go, are you on your diet still?
Yeah, CrossFit wants a woman. The great thing is you're definitely going to get a... Well, you have a lady, so you don't need one.
Yeah, no,
but
no.
I think this is actually better for finding a lady than CrossFit wants a woman.
And we'll be past the St. Rand Hotel.
Yeah, I mean...
we can get a coffee in St. Arbuck's later. I did that in Edinburgh last year. Where
so it's the Strand Hotel for people that aren't passing the Strand Hotel.
And it's Starbucks, if you're not aware of the world-renowned coffee brand. I did it in Edinburgh last year where a couple of us having coffee outside the Starbucks and I stood up and started saying like pre-coffee prayers to St. Arbuck. Just embarrassed, the lads were going, can't sit down. And you could see other people looking around going, oh, we better respect this man's religion. You picked a lovely day to come to Limerick.
It's a lovely day, huh?
Better visuals required for the podcast, Des.
Yeah, I mean, the driving thing is just a place to record, drive around Limerick. I mean, this is where you're from, sense of place and all that.
Yeah, this is...
So you're from Corbally.
Corbally in Limerick.
And then the lovely woman from Operation Transformation left the car, leaving myself and Carl to have a more private conversation, where I hoped Carl would open up more about his Operation Transformation journey. So we continue our drive around Limerick, talking to Carl Spain.
So Carl, let's talk seriously about Operation Transformation.
Yeah, it is.
All joking aside,
yeah,
it's kind of handy, no?
I'm delighted with it. I think, and it's been a huge plus so far. I've lost significant weight.
Yeah.
It's only less than 2 weeks. I always find this funny that for those listening at home, there's a lot of horse shit on the road.
Oh yeah,
we're pretty much in the city centre.
Yeah, we are. We're smack bang in the city centre. We've just driven over a load of horse shit.
And I don't think we've mounted police.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes I feel like it'd be much better to film this because the people that are. But anyway,
if they're mother and daughter, that mother is a hell of a warning for the daughter's future.
That's terrible. That's terrible. So anyway, yeah, so you've lost loads of weight and...
Yeah, it's only been 12 days. I've lost a good bit of weight. I feel fantastic.
What do you weigh?
When I started, I weighed 19 stone, 4.5 pounds. In America, that would be still 19 stone, 4.5 pounds. Because you don't weigh any less when you're in America. No, I don't know what kilos, I don't know the translation.
We use pounds, man.
Do you use pounds in the States?
Yeah, but we don't use stone. Stone is just like
stone
of an
is
Irish
40.
Thing.
Oh yeah, it's just all pounds, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So 40.
But dude, let's let me just say for the record, when I say for our international listeners, I really mean for the three people that aren't from Ireland that listen to this podcast.
Oh yeah. Hi, PJ.
PJ will definitely listen to this one. My buddy PJ. So how much did you say you weigh?
19 stone, 4.5 pounds. So that's 140 pounds.
Plus. Don't you don't have to do it, but 19. Wow, yeah. So and now you've lost how much already? A stone.
I've lost. I reckon I've lost about I feel like it's a stone. I'm probably being overly optimistic as usual, but it's been good, and I'm aiming to continue it till January. That like I'm continue it forever, but January is my target at the moment to continue this and see how far we get. And I think if I get down below, get down below 17 stone, I wouldn't have been down that low for a long time. In 2003, yeah, well, I was going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week.
I remember that. I remember your gym phase.
And then I got to, you came in one time. I remember I was, I'll impress Des. I'm going to be running on the treadmill. Des will see me. And then you put the treadmill on uphill and sprinted.
I sprinted past you. I was still next to you.
sprinting along beside me. And I was like, come on. Give me something.
What a dick.
The worst, best day in the gym was the day I remember I was going so much. I really was fit. I would have been at the time. I would have been like 16 stone, but I was a very fit 16 stone, like, you know, struggling to get the weight down because what it was doing, going to the gym was getting my appetite was going crazy. So I was eating loads of food. But one day I'd been in there an hour and a half and I'd done seriously good work. Like I used to get so annoyed by the people who just walk in and kind of stand on a bit of equipment for a while. You know, you'd always see that there used to be pairs of girls would come in and one girl would be skinny and the other girl would be slightly heavy and the skinny girl would get on a machine, run, and the other girl would kind of walk for a bit, then get off. Yeah. And I used to get really annoyed. But one day I'm just about done. I'm on a warm down on the treadmill. And two lap dancers got on two bikes in front of me, literally right in front of me.
And you knew they were lap dancers.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And I was like going, oh my God, please. They were wearing tiny shorts. I was going, no, I can't do this.
What do you mean you can't do it?
I couldn't stay on the treadmill. I've done too much already. You can't make me stay.
I got what you mean. So I lost you for a sec because I was thinking about I was laughing about how you knew they were lap dancers.
they just had a certain quality.
Yeah,
about them.
Sure. Yeah. So you're down to 19. Oh, you were 19.
I was 19, 4.5. So I reckon I'm somewhere in the 18 stone something now. But I'm aiming to get another.
So your goal is 17 by the end of Operation Transformation.
Well, yeah. pretty much, yeah. If I get below 17 is the target for me. That's what I'm hoping for at the moment, yeah. But I'll have a weigh-in on Monday and I'll see how far I've got or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I think it was easy for the first 2 weeks to lose weight.
Yeah, that initial sort of weight is pretty easy, apparently.
And I had been, like, because once they gave me the call and said, that was an awkward call to make.
Well, I was just going to say, like, that's...
Hi, we think you're fat.
Yeah.
They didn't quite phrase it like
but
that.
But how did it go? Like,
no, it was fine. I was kind of happy to get the call. And I was thinking, oh, this would be great. You know, it didn't take me long to think about it. And I said I'd do it. And that's a beautiful sight in Limerick, that there's an ambulance coming out of a side street and no one's letting it out.
I let it out.
You let it out, Des. Fair play, you know. But I just thought, can you not see it's an ambulance? I know, if they put on the...
Will you stay bloody focused on the story, will you, for the love of Jesus?
They have no lights. I'm just making it hard for you to edit.
But I am not editing, by the way, so keep focused.
They rang me and said, oh, we want you to do this. And I initially said, oh, I've lost...
So you'd never seen Operation Transformation?
I'd never seen the show, but I'm kind of aware of the show, yeah. But I said, no, I've lost all the weight, so I'm probably... It's probably... And you know, I could just tell she didn't... So I met...
Did you actually say that?
Yeah. I said, I've lost all the weight, I don't need it.
You're no good to us.
Yeah.
You're no good to us as a healthy man.
Yeah. No, I said, no, I've... So I met them and they were lovely. It was all good. And then I had a few weeks lead up and I just had a blowout. I was literally going around eating stuff I hadn't eaten in ages. That's probably been the least healthy I'd been in a long time. So...
Because I'm you never knew you were going to be doing this?
Because I knew I was doing this. Going, right, this is... my last chance. And it actually was good because it kind of not made me sick of the food. I wasn't, you know, gone totally crazy, but I was going to eating bad food, you know, for a while, fast foods and all that sort of stuff. So it almost to the point I'm nearly getting bored of it.
Yeah.
So giving it up wouldn't have been a chore, rather than just cutting down on it and then going, having major pinings or cravings, which I haven't had. That's been the good thing. The other night, I was having a craving for a bowl of cereal, and it took me 10 minutes to convince myself that having a bowl of cereal is not the worst thing I could possibly
do. Well, I have cravings for a bowl of cereal every night. Like, that's my bag. Yeah. That's my going to bed sort of snack.
Yeah, that was the thing. When I was a kid, I used to have a bowl of cornflakes every night, and it became a running joke in the family. And then I found, when I got older and found out other people did it, I thought, oh, I don't feel so bad now. You're not a freak. I don't feel so bad now.
So, yeah, because I always remember, like, because I remember that time, 2003, you were trying to lose weight, and then I just remember sometimes you would say, or like you found out you had type 2 diabetes, right?
Yeah.
So all those times I remember, like, you would say you were going to try to lose weight, but then I would always notice, like, if we went to the good world, if we went to the Chinese after a gig or whatever, you weren't the healthiest eater.
Well, I would eat. I mean, that was the thing, you know, going to the Chinese, like a lot of comics, we, you know, there'd be some great nights, there'd be five or six of us there or whatever. But it was almost like, well, look at them. Look at Dez is skinny. He's eating here.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, I would have this thing of equating the healthiness with the restaurant. So if healthy people are eating here, then I can eat here. And I would just pick, like, whatever, you know. I wouldn't necessarily pick the unhealthiest dish, but it probably wouldn't be the healthiest, like, you know, I used to laugh because I'd always used to have the vegetable curry with boiled rice. That's all I used to eat in a Chinese because that was the first thing I'd eaten. And like, Chinese food came to me late.
You were late to Chinese food. You're so sophisticated.
No, just the Irish, we didn't have Chinese food. And that was the first thing I had and I liked it. So I always used to eat that.
But do you think you're proud, like, okay, genetics aside, has your problem been your eating behavior and your lack of exercise? Is that the main problem? Have they diagnosed that on Operation Transformation?
Well, I think, yeah, I think it's been mainly that. I mean, I wasn't a fat kid. I was, I was quite sporty as a kid.
No, because I remember Helen Colan told me that.
Yeah. And I
would have
been.
She was like, honestly, like, Carl used to be super skinny.
Yeah, and I was working in McDonald's. But that's because we're coming up to the McDonald's out here that I used to work in. But like, Corbley's the other side of the city. I used to walk, you know, nearly an hour to work.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. And sometimes walk home after like an 8-hour shift. If it was really early in the morning, I might get a bus or get a lift. But I used to walk to and from a lot.
Yeah.
So that would have kept the weight off and kept you fit. Now, my problem was working in fast food restaurants for years. You got you got a certain allowance of free Coca-Cola.
Oh, you reckon that's where it started?
That I used to drink a dozen cans a day at times, like, you know.
Really?
I started from having it for free in the fast food places. You know, you could have a drink if it was working in a hot kitchen. Now, we probably had a lot more than we were entitled to.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I don't think we were fully exploiting them.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, you were... That's where it started. Like,
that's where it started. But then also, by my mum would have been sick at the time, so we wouldn't have had, like, we still would have had cooked dinners at home and stuff like that, but not as often. And because I would have been working in fast food, sometimes two meals a day would have been provided for. There it is.
So you worked in that McDonald's which is just a chance. I'm just cruising around. I wasn't actually trying to come back. Oh, so at that time, yeah, because your mom was sick.
Yeah, we had so much fun in there. Some of the stuff we used to do, awful things, that for legal reasons we probably shouldn't say. I remember Dick Spring coming in one day and his wife was at the counter. So Dick Spring was the Tánaiste, so the...
His second in command of Ireland.
Vice president, man. But his wife was at the counter and he was kind of whispering, oh, can I have a burger as well? And I was thinking, this is the weirdest thing, that even in his marriage he's second in command. but my mum had Parkinson's. My mum would have been quite a strong matriarchal figure, and so would my grandmother, who lived next door. My grandparents moved in next door before I was born into the house out in Gorbally, and they would have been, you know, strong women. Like, my mother's side of the family, they're all very smart, very clever, academic, you know, would have been lecturers, teachers, you know, very clever people. And my mother was the eldest and was going to be a teacher, but when she did her leaving cert, she was too young. She was 16, and she would have had to wait a year.
Yeah.
So she didn't do it. But she had two jobs. She was very glamorous. I only found out... the joke is, like, my mother was very beautiful. Everyone, when found out who my mother was when I was growing up, used to go, God, you're very like your father.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, man, in terms of, like, when my mom was sick recently, 2 years ago... And it was like major stress. I piled on the pounds, and I was in the worst shape I'd been in probably 20 years, you know, because it was, I couldn't have believed how stressful it was. When my dad was sick, it was fine, you know, but I guess, you know, my mother was helping out. But when my mother was sick, we were like a man down. But that was a super difficult time. Like, is that the first time that you sort of started to put on weight?
No, it would have been working in fast food, because I worked in fast food for about 8 years, and I think
before that.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
I got on really well with my mum. I was really close to her, but it was more like a friendship than mother and son. I don't know, it was, we just got on, you know. It was that. I got on both my parents. I think I've got on with my siblings better in recent years than I would have grown up. You know, but the parents thing, I always got on with both my parents. It's unusual, I think.
Did you got into comedy after your mom died?
No, I was in, I started in 2000. My mom died in 2003.
So I knew you already when you...
Yeah. So I'm not going to tell the story about you getting me that corporate gig the Christmas after my mother died when you bailed me out.
I can't remember that.
My mother died in September, and I think by October I was broke because I had to cancel a load of gigs. And it wasn't, you know, early days of comedy, you're not making a lot of money. So I was kind of full time, but I shouldn't have been. Yeah. So that Christmas I was like, it was funny, at one stage, like, I'd maxed out my credit card, I had no money in the bank, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was actually thinking of who I can ask for money. And I was thinking, I have to ask someone who's not going to... I had a couple of people in mind that I was going to ask. And then the credit card company says, oh, we're up in your limit. And we're up in your limit a few more thousand. I was like, oh, God, thank God for that. So I literally was going, right, I can live off that money until I get myself going. But coming up to that Christmas, you got me a corporate up in Galway in Oranmore. Or you were asked, was it Tim Keane? Is that his name?
Tom Keane. Yeah, Tom Keane, man for the corporates.
Yeah, I think it was a 2.5 grand or something like that. I was nearly crying when he gave me the check.
Thanks, Des. Thanks.
Hey, you did the business, man. That's all that matters.
It was actually a great gig. I did a great gig, which, you know, which was a relief. But, I mean, our corpus that don't always work out. But that was, I'll never forget. I remember him, it was raining outside. I was in the car park when he handed me the check outside. And I was nearly crying. I was very close to tears. I was going, God, don't end up here again.
Jesus damn. I love an old story about how great I am.
How great that was. Well, I could tell the other one when I...
No, fuck off. It's not about me.
No, I know that. But when I started, you know, this is, it's funny that, I can't, you got me a gig somewhere, something, you know, I mean, not a huge favor, but, you know, that all comics would do, or a lot of comics would do, and I'd go, oh, Des, thanks a million. I owe you a favor. And you went, no, man, pass it on.
I said that?
Yeah.
Jesus, sometimes I impress myself with myself.
You don't recognize
I don't recognize myself in that statement. that's fair enough. That's the...
No, but I then got...
You can only keep what you have by giving it away vibe, you know?
You're straight on here is probably the best
one. Straight on.
But John Colleary, I got him a gig or two after meeting him up in Sligo, and he went, oh, thanks a million. I went, no, John, you pass it on. You pass it on. Des told me that, and he goes, oh, yeah, well, Des has got me gigs as well. And I went, all right. Oh, have you, Des? Thanks.
Oh, God. All right, so I don't want to... I really do... I know you hate talking about it, but like, how much has your weight like been a part of? Well, first your comedy, then we'll talk about your identity. But like,
I'm trying to think. I had a joke from work, like working in the... I remember I broke up with a girl when I was working in the mid 90s. I broke up with a girl, and a few weeks later, one of the guys I was working with going, oh, how long is it off with Lisa? And I went, I'd say now about 6 pounds.
She wasn't happy.
I'd put on weight.
Yeah.
And that was used to be one of my opening jokes. Then I've been single now for 3 or 4 stone. As you can see, the weight had gone up. But I had jokes like that. I would have made, you know, a joke.
Yeah. What is that like? What is it like at that time? The time where Helen Collins says to me, you're super skinny, right? And then suddenly you're getting heavier. Like, what are you saying to yourself?
It's a gradual thing.
Yeah.
So I would have lost it. Like, I would have got to the point where, oh, I need to lose this. And I would have gone and lost it.
Yeah.
And then, or I would have lost most of it. And then you put, you know, you forget, or you just get lazy again and you forget about it. And you put on weight again and then you lose most of it, but it's gradually climbing up and up.
Yeah.
So it's funny, when it's more a thing when you see photos. It goes, no, straight ahead, straight ahead. When you see photos and you see the difference. And
oh, so there were times then where you look back and you went, Jesus.
Yeah, you go, God, like, even it's funny looking at photos and seeing photos and going, God, I look fucking great there. And at the time when I would have first seen the photo, I wouldn't have gone, God, I look great here. I don't know. It's the mentality of it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. When you look back, you're shocked. I'm like, Jesus, I had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a gradual thing. So it's funny now, even like for, not just for me, for other people, I'd look at, you know, other comics. Yeah, straight out. Oh, the American flag.
Oh, yeah, I got you now. No, you don't have to worry about it. Anyway, we don't have a destination.
And it's funny just... seeing the difference in people and realizing now, because I mean, I used to talk about comedy in the sense of, you know, when I started doing comedy, for me it was a vocation. You know, there's people that do it, there's career comics, which you can tell, you know, you meet a new comic, you can tell nearly straight away what kind of, whether they're just they're in it for the fun or in it for, you know, just, oh, I want to do this and then do that. But once I started doing stand-up, I felt, oh yeah, this is exactly what I should have been doing, you know. And I would have been a different guy before. I would have been always on, you know, trying to entertain people, always like broadband or nun's knickers, always on. You know, you
impress Carl. I didn't have to ask. I remember this turn.
Yeah, this isn't where I live.
damn.
My old school teacher lives there.
Oh yeah,
she hasn't been down here in years.
It's a dead end. Yeah, but I know, but I know you keep moving off it, and that's fine. But yeah, I'm just, I only because I talk to loads of comics about comedy, but unique thing about you, and you're outing yourself now by doing Operation Transformation, is, you know, you've been overweight. And I'm really just curious, because I know people listen and they're curious, and I am curious myself of, you know.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No. You know, how it feels and being funny about it. And, you know, I guess it's just about that specific thing. I mean, you know, Operation Transformation is coming out on Thursday and you're out there saying, I'm not content with this anymore.
Yeah. No, well, it wasn't even that. It was kind of just the option. I would have been happy enough in my own skin. It was a thing of, I needed to do it. I decided, like one of the jokes I did for them was, I decided in January, I need to lose weight, but it was January 1994. But
but it's not actually true.
No, I would have been. There would have been a photo the odd time I would have put on weight, maybe over Christmas or something like that. But I would have lost, you know, I would have lost it again. With the comedy thing, it was an easy thing to write jokes about, because it's one of the things you can't lie about. You can't lie about your weight.
Yeah.
You know, in life you can lie about a lot of things. But you can't, you know, fucking, you know, it's obvious. You know, I remember, like, people going, oh, how's the diet going? And, like, and sometimes I'd be going, great, or how the fuck do you think it's going?
Yeah.
You know, the house where the dog is my house.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah. It's funny. I remember it differently. Yeah, this is your gaff.
This is it, yeah. And my father's not there.
Oh, well, we're just going to sit in your driveway for a while and chat.
Whose car is that?
When he comes home, yeah.
Yeah. So these
Jeez, he needs the old gardener.
Oh, the fucking back garden is destroyed. But they,
So we're just chilling in your driveway.
Yeah. This would have been...
Taking you back to the source, man.
This front drive would have been Wimbledon every summer. Mm. You know, we used to play with the gate.
Of course, after
this is it's on a kind of a relief road.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter. We don't have to talk about it.
I was more curious
about the feeling, you know, like, because I never talk to you about it. Because, I mean, I just give you a bit of ribbon every now and then, try to motivate you. But I never talk to you about it. But now that you're doing Operation Transformation, I feel like it's kind of, you know, I think it's kind of good. Like, honestly, without sounding dramatic, we sometimes chat about concerns about your health.
Yeah, well,
because diabetes was first.
Yeah.
But it's always like, you know, Carl's got to be more serious about it. You know?
Well, I wasn't. I was ignoring it completely. And I think that was the... I wrote a script of a thing. I filmed a thing that, you know, hasn't been broadcast because I filmed it myself. And there's a line in it for Fred Cook. I'm eating ice cream. And Fred Cook goes, like, I don't buy him an ice cream and I'm eating the ice cream. And he goes, you're not supposed to be eating... Give me that. You're not supposed to be eating that. You have diabetes. And I go, I'm fighting it. In reality, I'm ignoring it. And I would have been just like that, you know. I would have just gone, nah, I just don't think about things. There's a part of my brain, I need stimulation a lot. You know, I can do 3 or 4 things at a time. I can, you know, I actually toyed with the idea of watching 2 films at once at one stage and seeing what I'd be able to take in the information. That kind of, there's no, like, I overload my brain at times with stuff, just information. I can easily watch a program and be on the
internet. Yeah, so then, I tell you what you really love doing is immediately jumping off a thing into something else.
Well, it's just a thing of, but I don't think, like, I don't think about eating. I just go, oh, I'm hungry, I need to eat. And I'll go for the quickest, easiest, tastiest option.
Yeah.
So it's not something I'm overly conscious of. That was the problem. I'm not, it wouldn't be to the forefront of my mind. I'm not thinking, oh, we better have the skimmed milk rather than the fat milk, I go, that's the nearest milk. You know, and I know it's that's a small thing, but...
Yeah, but I mean, have they talked to you about, like, on Operation Transformation, has there been any psychological stuff about the sort of, like, the habits that you build up over time of going for food?
No, I mean, not yet. No, I haven't spoken to him. I've spoken to him on the phone. The guy, his name's Eddie Murphy, which I think is...
He follows me on Twitter.
All right, yeah, yeah.
He recently actually added me on Twitter, yeah. And then he sent... I followed him back and he sent me a direct message. So that's your guy.
Yeah. So it's... But we just had a phone conversation. But I kind of know. I know the stuff. I know what needs to be done. It's not like
do you know that... Do you think that you eat on, like, bad feelings and all that shit?
No, I don't do that. It's not like, oh, God, I'm upset. Where's the ice cream? You know, I'm not... It's just... Genuinely, I think it's just a laziness thing. Just, you know... Oh, if I eat, yeah, you know, I'm hungry. I mean, I actually, as even when I was 19 stone, 4 and a half, I would have been like probably between 18 and a half and 19 until I got the show and put on a bit of weight. But I wouldn't think it just like, oh, I'll eat something. Or my problem was I'd be in the car going, driving somewhere, and I'd eat most of the way. I'd buy stuff for the car, and it's out of boredom just to pass the time. You know,
so it becomes like your hobby, sort of.
Yeah. Even coffee is a thing now I've grown to in the last... I wouldn't have been drinking coffee when I started stand-up. Now I couldn't imagine life without it. And if any young stand-ups out there, you don't need coffee. But it's just, it's become a thing for me in recent years. And it's now coffee instead of maybe a can of Coke or a can of Diet Coke or a can of Diet Coke and a Mars bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just habitual. I'm quite habitual. I go to a cafe, I order the same thing. They know me in one of the cafes as the Hawaiian guy because I'll have a Hawaiian panini. They told me that. Said, "Oh, we've called you that,
Hawaiian guy."
But when I used to work in fast food, we had guys like that. We'd be having conversations in work, going, "Oh, I was down in Dunn shopping the other day and I saw cheeseburger, ketchup only, and coffee four sugars."
Yeah, that was like your running gag.
They know
so
each
you're
other.
A Hawaiian guy.
Yeah. So I'm Hawaiian guy for the in one of my local cafes and. You know, but it's that thing of it's and I don't think it's particularly unhealthy. It's not, but it's just that's my it's habitual. I go into Abracababra, I'll have the same thing. I'd have taco chips and a kebab.
Yeah, taco fries is not good.
Yeah. But that was even something I got to later as well. I don't know, was it you? I'd worked in Abracababra and I never had them.
Yeah, but then you got into that.
Then I got into that, and that was a thing for a while. But I could go eat that for a while. Actually, it was one time when Abracababra and Limerick got renovated and it reopened. It was closed for a week. It reopened and I went in and there was a Polish guy I used to work to and goes, "What did you do for the last week?" And I was and I was genuinely pissed off with him. Going, I didn't come in here every day. And he was kind of laughing with me. And it was because I joke with them when I go in, but that one got me. And I was like, how dare he? And then I actually thought, I've been away all week. I was away. And then I went, yeah, you were in Letterkenny and you had Abracababra. I'd been in four different Abracababras.
Is your dad pulling up?
No, that actually was like my car. It was freaky.
So the last thing I'm going to ask you about this, then we'll talk about other things.
No worries.
So, like, that was one instance that guy kind of caught you off guard, pissed you off.
Yeah.
Have there been any other, like, instance where you've been like, fuck, wait a minute?
Because
you're a funny guy and you're like, sort of like, everything's like water off a duck's back to you. But, like, I wonder, like...
It is. And I don't mind it. There is the time...
But have there been a couple of instances?
Oh, yeah, there would be times that would get that. That would get... I find funny that... Rachel... my girlfriend finds it funny that I not get annoyed, but it's kind of an irritant for me when someone will go, "All right, big man," or whatever like that. And Kevin Bridges does this.
Yeah, but that's a Scottish thing. I know. He calls me big man too.
I know, but it's the funny thing of, and I don't mind it from Kevin or from whatever, but it's that thing of when Kevin does it and it's affectionate, whatever, but it's when other people would do it. It's almost like, yeah, you just mentioned my weight is the first thing you've said to me. So like a person would go, "All right, big guy," you know, or "the big man." I'm going, and I just go like, is that's all, you know? And it's more that thing of like, it's like walking up to someone going, "All right, big tits," or fucking, you know, I get annoyed at being labeled. I always found that.
Yeah, but that's a real thing. So do you ever feel like writing material about the fact that actually there's discrimination against fat people?
I have written bits and pieces and stuff like that,
but not a bit like not a big thing.
Not a big thing, no.
And do you think it's true though?
I think it is. Yeah, it's a thing of I think there's discrimination all over the place, and you know the people have kind of like I think the there's this sort of people who are racist might be a little bit more clever now and going, well, I'm not going to be openly racist because people give out to me. You know, but it's like that thing of, I'm not saying people who say things about fat people are also racist.
No.
But it's that thing of, that's acceptable. You can call someone fat, you know, you can slag, oh, you're fat in front of people and no one's going to go, man, you're way out of line there. Yeah, they might, but it's like that thing of ginger is a, you know, why is, I never understood why ginger was a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, fat, it's, I don't know, there's other ones that you think...
No, but fat's a biggie. No, like no. I mean,
no pun intended. But it is, yeah. I think it's in Ireland. It's that thing of. I remember when, you know, being a kid. There was just like I was thinking back. There was two big guys in my class in primary school, and one of them was big because he was about 3 years older than everybody, and he was a big guy. And the other guy was just a kid who was slightly heavy. But now you see a primary school coming out or a school coming out, you see a group of kids, and there's some huge kids, like, which was never the case. I don't know, was it the case in the States or?
No, we didn't have a lot of fat kids, but we did bully fat kids. I mean, Jennifer Carlson was a fat girl, partially blind. I mean, we were terrible.
Oh, I'm glad we changed her name.
Yeah, I didn't change her name. But we bullied her, definitely. I mean, we were really young. Like, we're talking when I was like 4 and 5. But we definitely were cruel to Jennifer Carlson.
Yeah, I think I was fortunate. There wasn't a lot of bullying in our schools.
Do you ever fear being, like, labeled as, like, that guy that, like, raised issues about being overweight?
Oh, no. I used to do, like, the funny thing, of course, I'd undermine myself doing, if I do anything serious. I remember joking about it one time and saying, because I used to be fat. Oh, there's Morris up on the roof.
Oh, yeah, there's your neighbour.
it's my uncle.
Oh, that's your uncle.
It's not his house. That's my uncle, the priest's house, who's his brother-in-law. This is Morris's house. It's the O'Connells there.
Oh, God, Jesus, the Spain's really... This is the Costa del Sol in Corbelly.
It's the Costello del Sol, because the Costello was my mother's family.
Oh, it's the... is that that's a running gag?
No, it's not.
But that's pretty funny.
This used to be all a farm there, so we used to go mad in that farm. And now it's a whole estate.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you're just going to do this and then that's it, right? Operation Transformation.
Well, I hope it's a pivot point in my life, you know, that I'm changing things now, moving in a different direction.
Like, do you think your weight's held you back, your career-wise?
I don't know. I always, it was said to me once by a TV person saying that, well, we wouldn't, you know, you've got a lot of talent, but we wouldn't use you because you wouldn't appeal to young people.
Because, really? Somebody said that to you?
Yeah. Because you're the wrong look. And it's this thing, this obsession with youth. I've no problem with the obsession with youth and TV and stuff like that. But if it's youth with talent, like, I mean, I think Al Porter is the perfect synergy for TV now because he's so talented and so young. But they've been grabbing people before that wouldn't have been nearly as talented as Al just because they're young. And then disposing with them very quickly, going,
name
no.
Him. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Going, oh no, he's not good enough. Get rid of him. You know, and people who, you know, had moments on TV and then they were gone.
Yeah, but that's not cool. You know, like it's unfortunate then that, you know, at times you feel like your weight has held you back. I mean, in this case, it's going to be to your advantage because you're able to use it.
To do the show, I was joking. Saying
and you're not worried about being embarrassed about just being out
no,
there as
I don't,
this guy?
I don't care. I mean, that doesn't bother me. You know, it's... I always think if someone says something nasty, there's kind of a feeling of, it says more about you than me that you feel the need to come up to a stranger and say something horrible. I kind of go, right, thanks for letting me know to avoid you in future. We're coming up to Abracababra here. I was in Abracababra one night and a woman was there and she, I walked in and she was the only other person there and she just looks and goes, Carl Spain, whatever happened to you?
Oh, right? Jesus.
Such
whatever
a nasty,
happened to you? Yeah.
You were like, you know, and it was like malevolence in it and it was like nastiness in it.
Yeah, that people can be cruel, but that's fine. People are dicks, like, you know.
But I do it myself. Like, I remember when Louis C.K. did the Ivy Gardens a few years ago, you brought him down to the International.
That's right.
And
yeah.
we were all standing outside, and I came down, and you and Carlos and Louis, and I. First thing I said to him, I went, I know who you are. You write for Dane Cook.
You did?
I did. And he just went,
He didn't find that funny?
No, he just kind of smiled, but it was kind of, I could tell he wasn't entirely
chuffed. He was jet-lagged that night. He had a shit gig.
And But I said it to him the following night. I apologized. And he went, you didn't need to apologize, but the fact that you did, I really appreciate it. So I thought that was nice.
Oh, cool.
But I was going, oh, it was nice to meet Louis C.K. I gigged with him. I'd gigged with him in Montreal and Kilkenny. I'd forgotten.
Yeah, I had that with Russell Peters.
It was afterwards. I gigged with Russell Peters as well. It's funny, when you see them now, you go, oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
But it's the one, you know, it's funny with Kilkenny, the guys you kind of, you like Zach Galifianakis. I remember seeing Zach Galifianakis present an Oscar to Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords.
No way,
and going,
yeah.
I know both those guys.
Yeah, well.
You know, I know both those guys. I mean, like, Zach Galifianakis, I would think doesn't remember me, but Brett would know what I was going.
Sure, man. Yeah, well, like, it is weird though when you sort of
when you see
slowly
that level
but surely
of it.
Like guys that you know get huge success. I mean, those are three that you've mentioned that like you know pretty well. Like Zach Galifianakis, I haven't seen in a long time, but like he literally played the piano through my whole set when he was in Kilkenny. He was like, "Hey, man, how about I just play the piano through your whole set?" You know, because we were all fucking around, you know.
Yeah.
And he played the piano through the whole set, and it was great. And of course, back in those days, nobody had phones, so there's no memory. You know, there's no collection. Like, I didn't know he was going to become this superstar. But it's funny because my dad, you know, when we were growing up, my dad always be like, "I know him. I used to drink with him in Chelsea." And we'd all be like, "My dad's full of shit." And now I literally sit in front of the TV. Yeah. Is this your turn here or the next one?
Yeah, there's the turn. Yeah.
So the. You know, now it happens all the time. Like when Brett won an Oscar, I was like, fuck, this is like the third guy. Like, I know Glenn Hansard, he's got a Oscar.
Yeah.
Brett McKenzie's got an Oscar. And I think I've known somebody else that was nominated for an Oscar. Like Kirsten Sheridan's nominated for an Oscar for writing. So it is pretty weird.
Yeah, we're down here. It's funny when you see that. But it's funny, I found photos of Edinburgh with the Concords pulling after the.
Oh, right.
Or
you're
parking if you would just block me in, whatever. Yeah. But pictures of a night out in Edinburgh. And it was a pretty special night out. I think it might have been near the end of the run or something like
of
that.
Of 2002?
No, this would have been
2004.
2002, 2003. But it's like the Flight of the Conchords. Dara was there. Dara Breen.
He was doing Full Irish with John Henderson.
That would have been 2000, okay. 99. That was before my time. But Dara was there. John Bishop, who was still working at the time. It's just mad looking at the photos, being at a party in Jimmy Carr's house in Edinburgh one year, and Jermaine from the Concords.
Oh, that's because it was
behind.
A screening.
Yeah,
it was a screening of the documentary that Taika made. Taika's now like one of New Zealand's most successful directors. He made a great movie,
right.
Boy.
Well, it was the
I was there that day.
Was it Frodo Is Great? Who was that? About Brett?
Yeah, about Brett. Yeah.
And
they had been filming it in 2002.
Oh, right. Well, it was the following year then. So Jermaine is behind the bar. I'm just going, look, how rich is Jimmy Carr that he's got one of the Concords?
Yeah.
Being his barman. But it's just mad now. Those people have moved on. And it was in Edinburgh last year. And I'm going, God, there's a whole new section of people that I've never met that are now. And I'm going, like, you know, oh, let them
that
off.
In 10 years' time, you'd be like, no, they passed me too.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I really need to check the engine in my career car because all these motherfuckers seem to be in the fast
lane. That's never bothered me. I remember actually it was you with the example for me was when you took off, and I remember saying to some, God, I'm actually
in Ireland,
yeah. And I remember going, God, I'm actually happy, and I'm happy that I'm happy. You were the first person I would have known from when I started that you were probably one of the first people I knew. But when it took off, you're being happy for you and not. I hadn't consciously thought of it. Am I going to be bitter? Maybe that's a sign that you weren't going to be bitter or annoying or whatever. But it was kind of interesting for me that I was actually delighted that you were successful and I'm happy for you. There was no kind of.
Yeah.
There was no.
But I think that's.
There was no why me.
But I'll name some other guys. I bet you weren't as happy.
I bet you couldn't.
There's some guys like when John Bishop broke big, I was happy for loads of reasons, not just because he was kind of ignored because he didn't, he didn't fit the like, particularly say like in Edinburgh, he didn't fit the thing of like the guy that's going to do well because he's a working class guy and he's just telling funny stories about real life. And it didn't fit the sort of critic's pick. So when he flew by everybody else, I felt like that was a bit of a fuck you to the pretentious crew, right? Not that I don't mind that pretentious comedy, but I also think that people can sometimes dismiss somebody like John Bishop, who's got real life experience. He didn't jump out of college and get into comedy. That he's got a voice that
is unique. Yeah,
right?
But it's
so guys like John Bishop, Kevin Bridges never bothered me. The success.
Oh, I'm delighted for Kevin. Kevin was something that was what would have been my first one of. Literally the first time I saw him, going, that guy's going to be a star. And I thought he was 17. I think it might have been his first Edinburgh, and I booked him for the Laughter. Oh, I didn't book him for the Laughter Lounge. I recommended him for the Laughter Lounge.
Yeah.
And got him booked, and his first gig's out of Scotland. And I couldn't believe when he, because he looked old. He always looked like he's only 29 now, and he's
he's just about to
looked that age. But I said it to him. I said, you're going to be a big star. I didn't expect it to happen so fast. But
I mean, obviously, people that are looking to find out whose success annoys the shit out of me will have to ask me on the street. But there are some.
No, but there's always people I don't like. Not necessarily people I don't.
No, sometimes you just don't get it. Listen, there's people that don't get why Irish people thought I was super funny. I get that. You know, like, of course, you don't have to find everybody funny. But there, you know, sometimes it's more understandable than
I always compare it to music. It's like that thing of, oh, I don't like him. Like, whoever they're talking about. Like, there's a couple of names always come up that, you know, you probably guess. But, I don't like him. But it's even the funny one for me was, I remember someone telling me, oh, you're the comedian fella, Spain. And I go, yeah. Do you know who I don't like? And I go, right.
I know,
and
they always do that, actually.
But the best one was, and he went, Tommy Tiernan. I went, all right, yeah, God, you'd be surprised how many people don't like him, because, you know, Tommy would have been selling out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like Toman Park in the distance there. But my answer would always be like, you know, it's like music. You know, you might like jazz, you might like this. You just have to find the type of comedy that you like, because we are all different.
Yeah.
People who don't. Listen
but Tom,
to comedy.
Yeah, funny
but
thing about.
I said to him, he says, have you seen him live? And he goes, oh, yeah, 5 times. So I'm like, why do you keep going back if you don't like him?
Pain.
I know what I don't like.
Well, Tommy's success was irrelevant to me in the sense that he blew up right when I started. So I could never say I wasn't happy with Tommy's success, because actually I just looked up to him so much. So it's like, that's a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. But no one's success has really bothered me. I mean, I can understand. No, not really. Like, there's nothing I went for.
Comedians are so full of shit.
No,
nobody admits
really.
It. I love the way nobody admits it.
No.
Like, I talked to Ashton B. I talked to Ashton B, and she's like, our generation aren't competitive. And I'm like,
no, that's bollocks.
That's fucking bollocks.
I'm competitive, but it's a case of, it's not like, I mean, it's the success of, I'd be competitive. Like, I remember doing gigs with Dara when Dara was big, and I'm supporting him, and I'm going to fucking rip it here.
Well, he was competitive, though.
Yeah, but that's different.
What I always admire about
Dara,
what I love about Dara, is he never pretended that wasn't the case. What fucking bothers me is these people who are fucking lying about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Dara was just unashamedly competitive and ambitious, and it didn't, you know, it didn't transfer into the pub afterwards. But at the same time, you know, he wanted to have the best gig. Like, having best gig on a night feels fucking great.
But on the flip side of people's success, I used to get bewildered by, but I used to find it, I'd see people go, how's this guy not? And for a couple of years, you'd see someone like Milton, and now it's,
yeah,
it's that thing of, and I always
Milton Jones for those.
Yeah, yeah. There's that thing of being a, you know, it's like, I'm 44 and it's back to me gone. I don't.
Well, Carl,
think it's going to happen.
It's a good time to mention this, because you're my guy for that situation.
That's going
to
happen.
You're my guy that I go, why is Carl not more successful? You know, one of the funniest guys I know. Why is Carl not more successful? So we hope that Operation Transformation will just be one of these. Nah, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
It'll be the podcast. It'll be the podcast.
Well, I've always thought you should start your own podcast.
I did think of it, but it involves work.
Yeah, you're a fucking lazy bastard. Well, if there's ever a theme to this goddamn thing, is stop being lazy.
Comedians in a car going to drive-thrus.
Yeah. I thought about going to the drive-thru at McDonald's for the crack, but then I was just going to get like 2 bottles of water.
It wouldn't have been, yeah. I don't know, that was one of the things now that I've been healthy. I sometimes would leave Dublin and go to the 24-hour McDonald's, and I'd get a coffee and I would get something else. But the other night I couldn't even stop. I said, I'm not going to go in just for a coffee, because they kind of go, that guy just got a coffee.
Well, in AA, they say if you keep going to the barbershop, you're going to get a haircut.
All right.
If you keep going to the lion's den, you're going to get bit. So, you know, people, places, and things. Mm. You got to watch out for old behaviors. Use a bit of the 12-step language to help you with your, you know, keeping it up. Because honestly, losing weight is the easy part. It's keeping it off.
I'm getting a bit sensitive about my hair nowadays. So you brought that up because I've got that.
Oh, sorry, you got the bulb. That's next, bro.
Yeah. Get work done there.
Yeah, or you can just go for the, you can just go for the shave off.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, but you're my guy. That's, you know, should be more successful. So, you know, I wish you the best. You know, but look, let's face it. The diagnosis is laziness is part of your problem. I mean, you're dealing with the laziness with the food now and Operation Transformation. But come on.
Yeah, let's do it all.
Yeah, if I can do a podcast, do something. Get the ball rolling, bro.
Get it out there. I've thought of doing videos. I could film at home.
Yeah, you can do like Key and Toomey type stuff.
Yeah, I could be the new Key and Toomey.
You could be the new Key and Toomey.
I just need to let my hair grow. That's what's delaying me.
Kian, Kian, why am I mentally ill in all your videos?
There was one pilot of a quiz years ago I didn't get, and I thought, oh God, but then it was never made. So I was like, oh,
yeah, thank God. Yeah, bingo, high five.
Fuck you.
High five.
Fuck you.
High five. So, I auditioned for the, not the Rob Delaney character, obviously, because he's kind of writing for himself. But
for Catastrophe.
I auditioned for the American.
Oh, right.
The kind of sex addict.
Oh, right.
I was like, an American likes fucking too much. Come on. This is made for me.
What did you think of me?
But yeah, I was close enough to getting that, and I didn't get it. That was annoying. But, you know, whatever.
But you never know what it, like, I remember people, oh, so-and-so's got a TV show, and then you'd see it, it's a one-off show, and it's gone. And
high five.
People would have missed it. You know, it doesn't change. You know, it doesn't change the perception. The weird one I got was after Carl Spain Wants a Woman, I'd be recognised everywhere. Like, literally, oh, there's a man looking for a girl.
Carl made a series called Carl Spain Wants a Woman in 11 about 2005.
11 years ago, yeah.
2005.
Yeah.
And it was a fun series.
Did you find a woman? It was meant to be a fun look at dating. I ended up meeting my girlfriend. Ruined it for me. But I get people shouting at me. But the weird one was then, in subsequent years, I'd come off stage after having a really good gig somewhere and people come up and they're saying nice things. But then someone come up going, we weren't going to come tonight because you were on. And I go, oh, thanks. But you were brilliant.
That's Irish comedy.
And it's the Irish comedy. And they're saying a nice thing and they mean a nice thing. But what they're actually doing is going, they're saying, you know, there's a perception out there that you're actually not funny. But you are. You know, but it's that thing of there's still other people. Although you've changed my mind, there's others out there. And like, so
I love when people think they have career advice for you.
Oh, yeah. Do you know? And
you should do the late.
You should meet my friend. They'd give you loads of stuff for your skit.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You're not going to put this in your show now, are you?
Yeah.
But no, that is, you always get that. Like, I never really liked you, but you were really funny or... You know, the stuff you did before wasn't great, but the Irish thing was amazing. You know, people do that all the time.
Yeah, they can't be. That's the bit about like people saying, "Oh, you have to be use negative words when you're complimenting." You know, you can be, "Oh, Des, he's terrible nice, he's awful nice." It's, you know, even when you're being complimentary about someone, you still have to use negativity.
Yeah, you still have to use negativity. For RTE, it was amazing. I can't believe this is on RTE. So,
and I'll be able to wear that shirt.
I'll tell you why I need to end this conversation.
You need a pee.
I'm dying for a piss.
All right. You could come into my house and have a piss.
That's what I'm going to do. Carl Spain, thank you very much. I wish you the best of luck on Operation Transformation. And for our international listeners, if you're looking for Operation Transformation, geez, that would really suck. Talking to your mic for a sec.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I hope that was going in the whole time. That would suck.
Oh.
But if you're international listeners... Yeah, I've nothing else to say to you other than check out Carl Spain online. Have you any gigs to plug?
Galway Comedy Carnival.
Galway
in October.
Comedy
that's,
Carnival.
That's the one. Check and Cork Comedy Festival's in September.
Yeah, check
that's
him
beforehand.
Out at the Galway Comedy Carnival or at the Cork Comedy Festival.
Or the Three Arena next year.
And what's your Twitter?
Carl King of, because my surname's Spain.
Carl King of Spain.
King of Spain.
Oh, that's what that is. All those
King
years.
OV. King of, K-I-N-G-O-V.
It's always like Carlin Gov. I never got that.
No. That's why the girl in Starbucks we were chatting to, her name is Kinga. And I used to say, I can't marry her because she'd be King of Spain.
Yeah.
And I'm on.
That's a great joke at the time. I don't know if it's going to play now.
Just giving you more editing to do,
Des. Yeah, no, that's it. These bits are staying in, bro. So anyway, Carl King of.
Yeah.
Carl King of on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
if you want after you're pissed, if you want to have sex with me, we can do that.
No, that's getting. No, I'll leave that in too.
I could be gay now. Gay, if I go gay, I'll get on TV more.
Listen, save it for your writing sessions with Al. Good day. So thank you so much to Carl, being very generous with his time, and thank you all the listener for subscribing to the Des Bishop Podcast. If you've met people that haven't subscribed yet, please do spread the word. Tweet me at Des Bishop. Instagram, Des Bishop, Snapchat, Des Buffer, and Facebook. /Des Bishop. We got a lot of great podcasts coming up. We got Ashling B already recorded. The second half of Kevin Bridges already recorded. John Bishop about to record. And we're going to have Andrew Ryan coming up soon too. So we got a lot of great stuff coming up. So do spread the word. Nothing much else to say other than thanks again to Carl. Don't forget Carling, Carl King of. Carl King of, at Carl King of is his Twitter. And yeah, I'm heading to New York on Thursday. So we're going to get a lot of American comedians coming up in September and October. So check all that, you know, get ready for some more great stuff. And I will see you soon. Heading for a dip in the pool and an interview with John Bishop coming soon. Thank you. Good day.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.